Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm Dave Cohen, WWL First News. Now, here's Tommy Tucker on WWL.
Dave, our news director, could spend some time with us here to give us the latest. Dave, you know, you mentioned how did I hear about it. And I was in a hotel and got a, pardon me, a tweet from, not a tweet, a notification from Nola Reddy about a truck plowing into the crowd on Bourbon Street. And the first thing I thought of was that, here we go, some kind of drunk guy plowing into Bourbon Street. Now, when I found out that it was a Texas license plate, I'm going to be honest here and tell the truth on myself, that the first thing I thought was, here we go, a drunk illegal immigrant plowing into people on Bourbon Street with the Texas license plate, right? Because that's based on my own frame of reference from all the out-of-state workers that I have here in Beltrace and the problems I've had with traffic and everything else. It's not about me. The only point I'm making here is that whenever something like this happens, we immediately jump to who do we hate, who do we blame, and we want to start assigning white and black hats. And it's not always that simple. It's more nuanced than that. First of all, factually, when it comes to Canal and Bourbon, I don't recall there being bollards at Canal and Bourbon. I always thought the bollards started at Iberville Street.
Well, they remember, those are movable. And the police, the plan has been,
I thought
during
they were underground
events,
and they went up and down.
They have both some that are movable, that the bollards themselves move in tracks that are in the ground, mm-hmm. and others that they can roll around and move. And the plan was to have those movable bollards there. But as we heard yesterday, the vast majority of those bollards either don't work, get stuck and can't be reopened, or have been eliminated now because they're putting new ones in preparation for the Super Bowl.
Do the bollards extend to the sidewalk?
They do not.
So this guy could have driven around the bollards, and I'm not defending anybody. I'm just trying to get to the facts. This guy could have easily driven around the bollards as he did the police car?
Exactly. And that was something that was brought up at yesterday's late news conference, is what is the point of the bollards, the blockades, the physical prevention of people driving down the street if they can just go around them on the sidewalk, something that Louisiana's governor, Jeff Landry, vowed will be fixed immediately.
So everybody wants to point to the city this, the city that, and I'm not saying that the city has been run efficiently or trying to defend anybody. Again, I'm just trying to keep it factual. The only thing that really stopped this guy was that crane, correct? That lift that was ever there, that was there?
Yeah, apparently that was the only thing large enough to prevent him from continuing down Bourbon Street. He got about three blocks in that very heavy electric F-150 Ford pickup truck until he hit that construction lift. We're not sure why it was there, if it was actually part of construction, if police were using it for lighting or to get above the crowd for observing the crowd. We don't know exactly why it was there, but thank God it was, because because he crashed into that, and NOPD officers then were able to approach the truck. He shot two of those cops before three officers shot and killed him.
So how far did he get down Bourbon Street?
About three blocks.
To Conti?
Not quite. I'd have to look to verify that.
Because you got the first street is Iberville, and you got Bienville, right?
Yeah, he passed Iberville and Bienville.
Wow.
So, yeah. But, you know, there are others who say, well, even if he couldn't have gotten on Bourbon Street, even if there had been bollards all the way across the street and sidewalk, he could have just run over people who had gathered on Canal. There were large groups of people
Governor
on Canal
Landry
Street.
Said that himself, didn't he?
Yeah, and then there are sidewalks, large, expansive sidewalks. You can theoretically drive a truck down on Canal Street. This guy was hell-bent, to use the police chief's term, on killing people. And you just wonder what could be done to absolutely prevent someone in this frame of mind with this determination to kill as many people as possible. If he doesn't do it with the truck, does he do it with guns? If he doesn't do it with guns, does he do it with bombs? Would any of number of bollards or police officers have stopped this? There were 300 cops in the area when he did it.
Any other question? There are so many questions here, but why 3:15 in the morning? Because you would think, although the street was still crowded, if he was trying to inflict as much damage as he possibly could, I don't know. Do we know if there was any different police presence at midnight than there was, or at 11 o'clock than there was at 3:15?
Well, he must have. And I've told several people who have asked me this question. You're not the first. Mm-hmm. I hate to try to get in the mind of the terrorist,
right,
and understand what he was thinking. I don't know, you know, and I said it almost flippantly. Maybe he overslept. Maybe he meant to come earlier. Maybe he thought that there were too many people to be able to go fast enough and that the vast number of bodies would stop him. I don't know.
And the other thought on that I thought of thinking it through, and we're just postulating here, is that, you know, maybe he thought at that time the police would think, well, okay, the threat is pretty much over. I mean, you're trying to get in the mind of,
right,
you're trying to assign rationality.
You think maybe they let their guard down.
Figured it was over.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, true.
And I'm not saying they did.
No.
Because you see
they were there
the video.
And they shot him immediately after,
right,
he stopped.
And you see the video of the officers that were gathering around a kind of slow corner when they heard the commotion. They ran, all of them, ran into the danger, and they're to be commended for that. One thing I did not realize was that it was an electric vehicle, and that, I guess, factored into it the fact that it was so heavy, right?
Yeah, and much has been made of that, particularly in light of the explosion of the electric vehicle at the Trump hotel in Las Vegas, and people wondering now if the fact that both were electric vehicles, if somehow these two may be related or linked. There's no evidence yet at this time that they are. But federal authorities also have not said that they were not.
And they were both Turo-rented vehicles. Elon Musk tweeting that maybe that was a common factor. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Common sense would tell you if you're going to, and I'm not trying to be flippant about this at all, but if you're going to use a vehicle to engage in an attack or blow one up, why would you spend $70,000 when you can just as easily get one on an app? And again, I'm not trying to be flippant about it at all. I'm saying that could be cause and effect.
And both vehicles were rented through the same app.
Turo, right?
That's the name of it. Both the one in New Orleans and, well, it was rented in Houston,
right,
and driven to New Orleans, but the ones used in the New Orleans attack and the explosion in Las Vegas were both rented through that same service.
So take me through these IEDs. They did find two that they detonated?
They haven't given us an exact number. We know that they found other suspicious items. And people in the French Quarter reported hearing a number of explosions throughout the morning. So police and bomb squads were probably blowing up things that they just didn't know what they were.
That was the question. Is it, were they explosive devices that they detonated, or was it just specific packages that they themselves blew up, and that's where the detonation came
from? And as you know, we have not been given a whole lot of details and specifics from authorities.
And I don't mean to ask you things you don't know.
But what I can tell you is what we're hearing from witnesses and anecdotally from people. We know that they found what appeared to be ice chests, and several ice chests were exploded. There was some speculation that there were remote-controlled explosive devices in ice chests that may have been left behind. We know that the FBI FBI said that at the scene, in the truck, they found what appeared to be an explosive device. And there are still lingering questions unanswered about an Airbnb where there was a fire, and NOFD called in federal authorities because of what they thought may have been explosive or incendiary devices found in an Airbnb on Mandeville Street. So,
was that the Airbnb that the terrorist was staying at? Or
that's not the speculation. Again, authorities have not confirmed that.
And there are also, there's also a search going on in Houston, right? Do we know anything about the latest on that?
Yes. At the last known address of the terrorist, a 42-year-old Shamsuddin Jabbar, they brought a SWAT team and bomb squad in to clear his mobile home or trailer before they went in looking for evidence.
Thank you, Dave. I know you're busy. I appreciate your effort. Y'all did a hell of a job yesterday. You really did. And we'll continue when we come back. Thank you. 6:18. Early look at traffic now on WWL.